Hallelujah. Okay, last week we talked about, have you heard him? It's important to know that we can hear God, and it's important in knowing that then we can listen to God. This week, I want to take a look at honoring God. Psalm 50:23 says, "But giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. If you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God." The salvation of God. Salvation of God isn't in heaven. Salvation of God is ongoing, continually in our lives. We see glimpses of it. We feel glimpses of it. And we can honor God just by giving thanks according to him. Just by acknowledging him, just by looking up. We sing, "This is my desire. I want to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you." I really want to honor God. I just want to honor him with every part of my life. But unfortunately, it just doesn't always go that way. There's times where I'm like Paul. The things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do, and I don't know what I'm going to do, but thanks be to God. He leads us to victory. We all have come short of the glory of God. I think probably everybody misses the mark with attitude, with what they say. One of the gals in the church said, "This may be just for me, but I really think we need to watch what we say. Watch what we confess. Watch what we declare." I've been telling the folks at the jail, and we've just been doing a simple little chorus that says, "God is for me. God is for me. God is for me, and I know it's true." You know, we need to know these things. We need to know them. We need to know them down in our hearts. We need to know that God is for us. He has plans for us, good plans for us. He made everything. In 6 days, he made everything, and everything he made good. He said, "Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good." And then he said, "Now let's make man in their image and give them all this good thing that we have done." And we need to be appreciative of that he did it for us. He did it with us in mind. He planned it for us. And it's just, it's kind of exciting when you get to thinking about it, that the creator of the universe, that's how it is. And he wants us to be grateful. We like people to be grateful. I mean, we certainly don't like it when people are ungrateful. And so we like that. So we need to know that, it's like I said, I'm thankful that God is faithful even when I'm not. And when I ask him, he forgives me. And I don't mind repenting. I just wish I could avoid needing to do it. But he's still working on me. And I assume he's still working on you as well. But he's going to get this done. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. He promises to reveal his salvation. Do you look? Do you watch? Do you pay attention? Do you see? yourself working out your own salvation? As it comes out of you, do you watch it manifest? Do you see when you have just an amazing transformation in attitude in a similar situation, like, wow? You know, do you see that? And do you give God a wow on that? Look what the Lord has done. It's okay to pay attention to that. That's not some big ego. It's important to do that, because as you recognize it and as you give God thanks, then you're honoring God. You're truly honoring God. It's not about figuring out what you can do to honor God. It's simply doing what you feel toward God. There was a devotional this week that I read, and it took from the verse that Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you into the world. And how did the Father send him? Well, he said he did everything that the Father said, and he didn't do anything that the Father didn't say. So it would seem that he heard what God wanted him to do. And when he heard it, he did it. So it is important that we hear God, that we desire to hear God. We don't want to be like Israel that said, you talk to him. We don't want to talk to him anymore. He's too scary. God's anything but scary. He's gentle. He's easy to entreat. He's so compassionate and he's so merciful. And so we just need to hear him and go according to what we hear. Sometimes, you know, Jesus, when his mother first came to him and said, they're out of wine, he said, well, it's not my time. And what's that to me? It's not my business. But apparently, the Father then said, oh, go ahead. Well, Jesus knew that when they went ahead, that started the clock. And he was a man. He was human. Have you ever had something coming up and finally you just had to go do it and you didn't want to do it? You know, and it wasn't so much that he didn't want to do it, but he knew, and it doesn't say this anywhere, but he knew once that clock started that it was going to take off. And wow, this was no small thing. This was a pretty big thing. He filled jugs, and the water turned to wine, and he did it. And it says that the disciples believed in him. That would indicate that previous to that, they were a little uncertain and uncommitted in, oh, I don't know. But Jesus honored his Father. We honor Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so it's Mother's Day. And God gave us a glimpse of the kind of love, I think, that he has in mothers for children. You know, mothers aren't perfect, but God is. But there's a mother's love, even when the mother isn't always lovely, that works its way out. You can see it. I've seen a lot of mothers that have been just torn apart because they're sitting in jail and they're failing their children in their eyes. And their children want them, and that, you know, what can you say except for you can still see the love, even if the love isn't perfect love. God's love is perfect. So do we want to honor God? Do we look for excuses when we fail? You know, you always have people saying, well, I did my best, or it's too hard for me, or it's this, or it's that, or somebody made me, or whatever the case might be, you know. Or do we just look at it and say, forgive me. In Jeremiah chapter 2, that's God poses a question. He said, what's wrong with him? This is God thinking, what's wrong with me that led them to stray and become worthless? Sometimes you'll see a mother, or you'll see parents, you'll see friends, you'll see whatever, you know, like, what did I do? Where did I go wrong? How come my child went off the rails? Well, God asked that question about Israel. What did I do wrong that they turned from me and became worthless? Well, we can remedy everything simply by giving thanks to God. In every circumstance, give God thanks. We can thank God. We can thank God that it's not worse. We can thank God that he interceded for us. We can thank God. We can just say, I'm so thankful that I know God. I'm so thankful that I have peace that passes understanding. I'm so thankful for the glimmers of change that I see what God has done for me. I'm thankful for your love and mercy, Lord. When something hurts, we can say, it hurts, Lord. I thank you for your comfort. It can be anything and everything. We all have different things. We all have different circumstances. We all have different opportunities to see that little glimmer of God working itself out in our life. And oh, how grateful we should be that God is working in me. We don't have to try to hide or make excuses. I think about David. I know God well enough, and David heard God well enough that he could have stopped that whole thing with Bathsheba when he looked over the wall and he saw her and he said, well, Father, she's fearfully and wonderfully made, but that's not for me. But he didn't. And when he asked who she was, he certainly God was speaking to him when he said, well, that's the wife of Uriah. Uriah was one of his famous soldiers, you know. How did he keep going? How do we sometimes keep going? You know, if you're on a wrong road, it isn't going to do any good to keep driving. You're just going to get further away from getting back to where you belong. I've told you before, I it never bothered me to stop and ask for directions if I couldn't find a place. You know, I don't have to know where I'm going if I can find somebody that knows where I should be going. And we have Holy Spirit. He's there to encourage us. He's there to direct us and to redirect us. So, you know, I think about that, and at the same time I think, you know, it's pretty amazing that God even put that story in the Bible. Could have just left that out, made things a lot easier. Because, you know, we might look at that and say, well, David did that, so I'm not so bad. And believe me, there are people that have thought that. Well, you know what David did. God didn't put that in there so we would learn or make an excuse or try to follow down that route. But God did put that there so that we would know that David was still a man after God's own heart. I want to be a man after God's own heart. I want God to know. I want him to know. I just want him to know. And I know that he does know. And because I know that he does know, then I know that everything will be all right. I can thank him. I can honor him. Something that really honors God is when we thank him. That is just, you know, thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me, God says. Thanks is a sacrifice. We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. But, you know, there are times, I suppose, that it's painstaking to say thank you. But, because sometimes we just don't feel like it yet. When we don't like how things are going, well, we aren't thanking him for how things are going. We're thanking him that he is with us and he is for us as they're going. We can always know his salvation. We can always know his salvation because he will continually reveal it to us. You know, it's kind of like, kind of like sitting by a river on a beach chair or something and laying back and saying, now this is really living. You know, it is. It's really living. Really living. Being in the presence of God. Being in the favor of God. Oh, that favor of God. Do you know that God is for you? I mean, not just because you know a verse. Do you know that he has good plans for you? Not just because Jeremiah 29:11 says he has good plans for you. But I mean, do you feel it? Do you sense it in your heart? Does it just well up in you and you just want to say, I want to love you, Lord. I just love you, Lord. You're so good to me. You're so good to me. That feels so good. That feels so good to just let it out. You know, sometimes people, when they're in misery, they just want to go someplace and scream and I just want to yell. I just want to shout. I just want to say, I love you, Lord. I used to go to a place south of our town, a trap shoot out in the middle of the country. I would drive down there. It's a couple miles is all. But I'd drive down there. I'd get out, and I would just start yelling and praising, running around. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord. As loud as I could. Now, I know I could have done that in town, but it could have bothered people. I don't really intentionally bother people. Jeremiah 60, verse 11, says, all human help is useless. Or no, that's probably Psalm 60. All human help, I'll have to look that up, I guess. But I have a note in my journal about all human help is useless. Now, some would say, well, now, wait a minute, all human help isn't useless. Well, in comparison to God's help, or if we choose human help, if we choose the help that somebody else can give us, instead of taking the help that God is offering us, that's really pretty useless. It's what God wants. It's about hearing God. It's about, I share how once, years ago, I guess. I don't know. Seems like days, but it was a long time ago. I was going to go down to Sioux Falls to the penitentiary, and it was winter. It was really, really cold. The roads weren't necessarily good, but that really doesn't make a big, great deal of difference to me if I can go somewhere. But I just knew that God was saying, stay home. And I could not for the life of me figure out why in the world I would stay home. And I really sort of tried not to stay home. They were calling me to talk to me about it, and I was visiting with them, and I was finding out, you know, like, okay, so what room we're going to be in, what's going to be going on, because sometimes it was a problem getting a room in the prison for ministry. It seemed like they let anything but Christians have good places, and anyway, that didn't really matter, because the Lord was saying, stay home. And so finally, I called and I said, look, I have to tell you, I'm not coming. I'm staying home. And the person I was going to go for, you're kidding, right? I said, no, I'm serious. I don't believe that I'm supposed to come, so I'm going to stay home. I'm really sorry. Well, what are we going to do if you don't come? I said, well, you would do something if I wasn't scheduled to come. You know, you can handle that. And I encouraged them. I said, let me pray for you. And you know, that wasn't really helpful in this person's mind necessarily. But I said, I really have to stay home. I just believe that's what God's telling me, which I didn't want to tell them that, because that's sort of like saying, God doesn't want me to come and help you. But you know, I needed to say the whole thing. Well, anyway, I didn't go, and I didn't hear anything from them. And a few days later, I called and I was talking to them, and I said, oh. Do you know what happened that night when you didn't come? That would be the other thing. It was going to be the middle of the night when I got home, driving on ice and 20 below, probably 50 below wind chill. But anyway, that's not the big deal. Oh, we didn't get into prison that night. I said, well, thank you. Thank you, Lord. But I also was thinking, how about telling me? But that's not my business. But God knew. You know, God knows a lot. And we can trust him. And God is, he also prefers to love us. You know, mothers don't love to discipline. I never once was just overthrilled with the idea of disciplining. And God says he will, you know, he will. And just like we as parents, we will. But he prefers just to love us. He doesn't like to watch us go our own way, but he will allow it. But he'll always welcome us on our return. He'll always be talking to us while we're wandering. I've tried sometimes to think about how Peter felt after he denied the Lord three times. I have tried to imagine, you know, his stomach had to be churning as Jesus came to visit with him and then simply said, so, Peter, do you love me? Look at Peter. Peter says, well, you know I love you. And Jesus didn't say, it's a little hard to tell, Peter. You denied me, remember? You denied me. No, Jesus didn't say that. He took Peter's, well, you know I love you. He said, okay, then feed my sheep. So, Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. Of course I love you. Okay, feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Lord, You know I love you. Tend my sheep. No condemnation. No accusation. No demeaning him. No nothing. Just gave him a chance to love him. I like that idea that the Lord will just give me an opportunity to love him. I'd like to think that I've never failed him like Peter did. But then if I don't do what he leads me to do, if I don't is that saying I don't trust him? What is that saying? I don't know. And maybe I don't want to know. I just want him to know that it is my desire to honor him. You know, Psalm 32:8, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Wow. You know, he never lies. He never fails. What he says he will do, he will do. So if he says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life, I would say that's the best pathway to go down. That's what God did for Jesus. He guided him along the best pathway. As we talked last week about the woman at the well, I'm sure that God had that plan. Why don't you go over there by Samaria? Share some of your good news there. Giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. I encourage you, and I encourage me, that we spend our time honoring God. Not trying to figure out how to honor him. He said giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. I guess I'll do the one that truly honors him. He's so wonderful. He's worthy of our praise. And so we praise him. We worship him. Jeremiah 3:10 says that she has only pretended to be sorry, talking of Judah. 13 says, acknowledge your guilt and admit you rebelled against the Lord your God. Confess that you refused to listen to my voice. Well, that's pretty demanding. Well, get it over with. Get it over with and be free from it. And once you've done it, what does he do? He says, I'll gladly receive you back. I'll gladly, I'll take you in my arms and I'll hold you. You know, you're my desire. I made everything for you. You're my desire. God is always comforting us, always leading us, always speaking to us, always. And when we know that he is, let's listen. Lord, I want to hear you. Lord, I'm drawing near you. Lord, I want to hear you. I pray for everyone listening to this. They have a greater desire to hear, better ears to hear, to have understanding that God is for you. And he's drawing you near to him. And he is worthy. He is worthy of our gratitude. He's worthy to be praised. He is worthy. So bless them, Lord. Bless us all. Let the blessing of the Lord be upon your people. And may gratitude for that blessing overflow all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.